Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no holds barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen brothers, renowned herpetologist, insurance magnate, a man's man who can skin an alligator while wearing a white suit and not get a drop on him, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring retired statesman, mentor to young attorneys, the legal representative to the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest and best dressed of the Ringhausen brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And last and least, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and inventor of the non-returning boomerang, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen. Kind of jamming, isn't it?
I'm sitting here thinking to myself, how long does that go on? Welcome to another episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Podcast.
I'm excited. What episode are we?
I think 16, right?
What is episode 16?
Episode 16 is the standing leg split.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
That's terrifying.
To the beanies?
Yeah, that's tough. Move there. All right. 16. We've done this, our 16th one of these?
Yes, it is.
Pea soup. Yeah.
What a colossal waste of time.
I was thinking the same thing.
Eh, well.
Okay.
How would your time have been spent otherwise?
I don't know. One of our listeners responded saying that they really enjoyed the episode where we reviewed canned foods.
Oh, is that the one that had
unique?
That was
canned
one that had the
foods.
Turkey dinner in a can.
You know, Suzanne.
Yeah, the whole thing layered down through it.
Suzanne wants to get some of that desperately.
That was a hit of the show, I think. I mean, that
should be our Thanksgiving dinner.
It may be. May have that tomorrow night for Thanksgiving.
Guess. Was that our Thanksgiving dinner that we had the charcuterie?
Charcuterie. Say that fast three times.
Display the layout.
Oh, that's the one where your daughter did all the fancy stuff.
Yeah, fancy schmancy stuff.
All that stuff where then you look at it and go, I don't even know if we should eat this.
Right, because it's displayed so nicely. Yeah. But the beauty of charcuterie food is you can eat it pretty much all of it with your fingers.
Absolutely. And no one's going to say anything to you.
Right.
No one's going to get a bad look from your wife.
Right.
I ate all my food with the fingers anyway.
Well, yeah, but you know, your traditional Thanksgiving meal, you're most likely not eating that with your fingers.
Mashed potatoes.
Two fingers.
You know, you can do, Rick, you can do that the first 2 years of your life and probably the last 2 years of your life.
Good observation.
And get away with it.
Yeah, but I think I'm closer to the last two than I am to the first two.
God, what happened to your arm?
Oh. Wow.
Woo. I'm looking at like one scarred up elbow, man.
Man, looks like you've been in a fire.
Looks like a gravel rash. You fall off your bike?
Okay. You know the old man, our father.
Yeah.
Art in heaven.
Well, two of our fathers. Your father, Art in heaven.
He is.
Our father had a retinal detachment.
Retinal or retina?
Well, his ret...
He asked us not to talk about that during the podcast.
Oh,
so
well,
so wouldn't that ever stop you guys from crossing the line on that?
This unnamed person.
Wow.
This unnamed relative of ours had retinal detachment surgery. Any event, the long and short of it is that I had to go help out at the market down in St. Louis. Uh-huh. We have farmer's market.
Go to the St. Louis market.
That the Ringhausen family takes fruit to the St. Louis farmer's market.
Right down in the heart of St. Louis.
Tower Grove Park. And sells fruit.
For our international listeners who may not be that familiar with that
St. Louis
city.
St. Louis is in Missouri.
Hey, don't laugh. Some people may not. That's an educational point for this podcast.
It's a city on the Mississippi, the gateway to the West.
Yep. All right. And we sell fruit there.
There you go.
Because the Ringhausens run orchards.
They're having for six generations.
And up until, how long have we been selling fruit down at that farmer's market?
Years. I don't know. A decade or more than that.
Well, this was the first time
I went. First time you ever went. I know that.
Really? That's the first time you've been down?
First time ever.
I can't say anything. I've never been down there, but...
That's pretty cool.
Do you want to go this Saturday to my place?
I'll be gone.
Pick up Uncle Joe and Aunt Sina Lou about 4 o'clock in the morning. Anyhow, so I'm supposed to do this. And Dennis, Brother Dennis, Uncle Den's roaster to Dennis, was going to come pick me up at 5:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And I'm sitting outside of the house, you know, waiting for Dennis to come. And
you text him, I'm outside waiting for meet you outside.
Yeah, I said, I'll meet you outside. And I figured Dennis, you know, knowing Dennis, that he was, you know, in fielding like 20 miles away or 10 miles away. So I figured I would do my cardio walk because I have to walk for my cardio, right? So I'm walking around the block and look down the street and here's Dennis pulling in.
At your house?
At my house.
And not now, his house.
And now I know that he's...
Because what our listeners don't know is that you guys live like 3 blocks apart.
Yeah. So now I'm afraid he's going to go ring the doorbell and wake up Suzanne. And that's going to be problematic.
Yes.
I told you never before!
Yeah, well, like that.
Something like that.
So I decide to run to meet him to stop him from doing that.
Uh-huh.
And running down the sidewalk in the dark.
When was the last time you ran anywhere?
Oh, I run. Don't run. Yourself.
Whoa. When?
Well, I run. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Anyway, man, the neighbor has a wagon with his tongue.
There's not an S on that, Rick.
What? Neighbor has wagon with tongue sticking out across the sidewalk, and I jump it. Uh-huh. Because not only do I run, but I jump.
Uh-huh. Allie, that's probably the first time he's ever jumped anything either.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, maybe not.
I successfully jumped it, but then I lost my balance and crashed forward. And
that's not a successful jump, then.
No.
Well, the jump was successful.
The landing.
I lost my... Okay. I didn't stick the landing.
There you go.
And?
And came down face first onto the sidewalk.
Your face isn't scarred up.
No, I held my face up with my arm, that's all.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I...
So when you got
what'd
up...
What'd you say?
I said, ooh. Uh-huh. No, what I said was, God, I hope Dennis didn't see
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
You know what Dennis, you want to know what Dennis said?
Dennis didn't see it happen, you know, because he is getting ready to go ring the doorbell.
Oh, okay.
And so I come running up. And what I'm hoping is maybe I'm not injured enough that anyone will know and I'll never have to tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's not the case. He's got us. We're going to drive about 4 miles out to where the market is to pick up a few more doodads for the trip. And I figure, well, I can maybe put a Band-Aid on it there. Mm-hmm. And I get to the market, you know, and it's just a bloody mess, like from my wrist all the way to my elbow.
Mm.
Like, oh, God. So I wash it off. Like, it doesn't look something like, oh, man.
There's gravel in it.
No, I said, Dennis, I said, and I showed him. Oh. I said, you got any bandages here? No.
That's okay. About the only thing in that market he doesn't have.
I know. So I dab it up with paper towels, and I'm getting ready to get back in the truck with him. I said, Dennis, I just noticed I don't have my glasses on.
You know, Dennis didn't notice you didn't have your glasses on?
No. Like, we've got to go back and get my glasses. He says, where are they? I said, well, I'm guessing they're in the grass next to where I fell.
Wow.
Was he happy?
He said, Dad wouldn't have done this.
Oh, good
he
one.
He said, he would have said, we're not going to get there on time if we have to can't go back. He said, but I'll go back. He said, and then you're going to drive, because I would drive faster than Dennis.
Everybody drives faster than Dennis.
No, I know. So we went back, and I took the phone. His phone had a flashlight on it, and I found the glasses in the grass and right next to where I fell.
Next to the big bloody smear?
Yeah,
is that how you found it? Wow. So this officially means that you're old and clumsy?
You know, Rick,
when I went to the doctor today to see about it. He said, oh, that's healing nicely. I said, yeah, I said, but my shoulder,
Still not. So he says, well, put your head over. See, can you touch the ear on the other side of your head? You know, and do that stuff.
It's like a kindergartner.
Yeah, apparently. I said, yes, I can do that. And he goes through it. He says, well, he says, don't look like you tore your rotator cuff. So we kind of discuss what went on. And he says that probably what really injured your shoulder was the day before you fell, when you and Dennis replaced the starter on your truck and you laid on your back on it for like 3 hours, taking those five big bolts off that plate, using muscles that you hadn't used for years and years and years.
Oh, so he's saying it was already sore, and then you compounded
exacerbated it
by falling.
Big word.
Yeah.
You know, Rick, when I turned 65...
you stopped jumping and running?
No. I had to go to the doctor, and the first questions, he said, now you're on Medicare, right? I said, yeah. Well, I've got to ask you, do you lose your balance and fall much anymore? I said, no, I haven't had that situation. So, you know, you got that to look forward to.
He actually asked 65. You that.
Absolutely. Got to ask that question when you turn 65.
Do you lose your balance and fall?
You mean, like, out of my chair, or what do you mean, Doc?
I've lost my balance and fall my whole life.
Was this before I started drinking or after?
If I step off of a carnival ride, maybe.
Tilt-a-whirl? Just saying.
But what's been the real challenge? You know what's been the real challenge in this arm injury thing?
Riding anything?
You know, when you do like a... No, not that. What's been the real challenge with this arm thing is, you know, as it healed, it was one giant scab from my wrist to my elbow.
And?
So you can do not to pick a giant scab off your arm.
So you're a scab picker and eater, I bet, too, aren't you?
I don't eat my scabs.
Oh, man.
Golly, Moses.
So there was always one kid in school that did it, though.
Oh, yeah.
So
was.
I've been wearing long sleeve shirts for the last week, you know, just so that I could keep my hands off of it.
You could. What you need to do is get a pair of your wife's old leg warmers from when she did aerobics, and put one of those, you know, like leg warmers up over your.
Yeah, they just slip off my arm.
Get one of those sleeves that have tattoos on it.
No, they would be too tight for my arm.
You know what? What?
Wow. Too late. Rick's in trouble.
So I'm watching TV last night.
Yeah?
And I said, what is... look down, and here's the dog licking my sores.
Oh, man.
Like Lazarus in the Bible. I said, Suzanne, it's like Lazarus, the dog licking your sores.
Wasn't he a leper at the time?
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't. He was just poor.
Lazarus wasn't a leper? I thought he was.
We're not talking about raised from the dead Lazarus. We're talking about covered with sores Lazarus.
I thought they were from leprosy.
We need a Bible expert here.
I think we do. Don't look at me.
We'll do a series. We'll do one of these on the Bible coming up.
Okay.
That'll be good.
All right, what's your topic? Now that we've gone through this, and long and short of it is, I made the dog. Dog had to take a pill so it didn't get sick, and I wrapped my arm back up. Licking an infected wound. Just
give it a pill.
Yeah, but that could go both ways, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Couldn't you catch something from the dog?
Well, I had to wash.
An open wound?
I had to wash my arm too.
Wow.
Interesting evening last night, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got to ask you another question. You recently went on a trip.
Camping trip, yeah.
With your camper, pulling it behind your monster truck.
That me and Dennis fixed. Changed the starter.
Okay, so you
and let me Dennis tell you about. Let me back up on that.
Got underneath the truck and changed.
When I got the starter, you know, Dennis, I said, have you ever changed starter on a truck? Well, like 30 of them. So I got one. So I bring the truck and the starter out to the market, and I'm like going to hand Dennis the starter. He says, take the old one off. Me? He says, yeah. He said, I went on the internet. He says, all you got to do is remove the iron plate that's blocking it, and it's got five giant bolts. I said, well, they've probably not been off since the truck has been built. He says, yeah, have fun. Hence the 3 hours under the truck taking those five bolts off.
What kind of words were you using?
Why would it take you 3 hours to take out five bolts?
Because you could only turn them like an eighth of a turn. There was only enough space to get like the wrench to do an eighth of a turn. And the first thing is they were all stock, of course. So I had to take an extra pipe to give leverage. I knew enough to have leverage added to the wrench.
You know what they call that pipe?
What?
A cheater bar.
I used a cheater bar.
It does, but it does work.
Yeah, and I broke them all five loose. And finally got the plate off, and then Dennis did put the starter on.
Okay, what?
But then I had to put all the bolts back in. Because after we put the starter in, it's just again.
Another 3 hours?
No, that was the total part of the three.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I could understand this if you were getting paid by the hour, Rick. But
you know what struck me at the end of the process is that, you know, the first four bolts went in pretty good and easy, right?
So you're feeling pretty confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fifth one vanished. To this day, I have no idea where that fifth bolt went. We moved the truck. Dennis brought out a big magnet. That fifth bolt just evaporated.
So you're riding on four?
No, I was going to drive to Jerseyville and get it. And Dennis says, wait a minute. And he brings out like a coffee can with like 100 different size bolts and found one that matched it.
Really?
And what I really think is that Dennis had picked that fifth bolt up already and put it in his can and was going to keep it. And then he had to give it back.
What I think is that it's
conspiracy theory.
Somewhere inside of your motor just kind of bouncing around. And that's what was making the extra noise when you went on your trip.
Could be. You know, at one point when I was putting that those bolts back on, that wrench just kind of slipped and popped up. And it disappeared. Like, oh, it's a ratchet wrench. Where did it possibly go? You know, and I'm feeling around. And it had slid down inside some piece of
crevice.
I don't know what it was or why it was there.
A black hole.
Yeah. To where, you know, you're looking going, it was a full-size ratchet wrench. Where could it possibly have gone? You know, it took like 5 minutes to find that stupid wrench inside that truck.
Hmm. So were you throwing a full-blown tantrum under there or what?
I would have been.
Where's Dennis? Why isn't he doing this?
That's your truck. Just saying.
I know, but I'm the oldest. I should just
No.
That goes, get to it.
That doesn't cut mustard.
You don't have anything you can blackmail Brad, youngest brother, with that you could have forced him to do it.
I don't trust him.
There would have been two missing bolts instead of just one.
There have been a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Tire be going down.
Is
the
show over yet? Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
We got 15 minutes yet, buddy.
How about a commercial?
Okay.
All right, man, go for it.
Commercial.
Take one.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. Do you spend night after night covering your ears listening to your favorite dog hack, gag, and cough?
After he licks wounds.
Well, suffer no longer, or more accurately, have your dog suffer no longer. Give Fido one of Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops and watch him quiet right down. Cannoli's comes in one of three flavors that dogs love: black cherry, soothing menthol, or leaking wound. Before you know it, you'll be watching TV in peace while your dog lays at your feet, quietly sucking a cannoli. Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. When your dog's coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli.
Very good.
What?
A canine cough drop.
Well, they hack around.
Have you been on the internet to see all the things that dogs have?
No, what are you talking about?
Oh, you can buy pills for them to calm them down or to pep them up. What's that old Saturday Night Live act where they got a dog and they give him a puppy uppers? He's jumping up and down too much, and then they give him a doggy downer. Well, that's the real deal, man.
You know, as a child, remembering that, you know, we had various dogs, I can't remember ever giving any dog any medicine. I can't remember ever giving a dog a toy of any kind. I just remember feeding them. That was it.
And whipping them.
Wow.
Punished a dog. They were just there. I mean, they were a farm dog.
Well, the times have changed. Do you think we were raised the same way that you raised your daughters?
No, all I can remember is mom and dad feeding us and whipping us.
Hey, you've not lived till you give a dog a pill. You know, a dog, you could have a pill and it could be liver flavored.
Yeah.
And the dog would lick the liver flavoring off and
spit it out. Yep. Yeah, pretty smart.
You got to take that pill and put it, your finger and shove it all the way down his throat as far as you can shove it.
Or just be like.
And then rake his neck to make sure that he swallows the thing.
Have a big, you know, blowgun like on Three Stooges.
That's how you give a horse a pill.
Well, either way. Dog, you can do it for a dog.
I guess you could give a dog a pill that way too. Straw.
Absolutely.
You stick her in there and go,
unless it blows back real quick.
Yeah. Dog would learn that trick pretty quick, wouldn't it? What's your topic, Alan?
We don't have time for that.
Yeah, you do. That's,
all right, real quick. All right, so went to Nashville a couple weeks ago.
Okay, this is better than a topic anyway.
And found a church, a Catholic church, which we all three belong to that denomination, and True Latin Mass.
What?
True Latin Mass.
Yeah, the old could Latin you follow?
A little bit, because in third grade, I had to learn.
Dominus Proviscum.
You bet. Ex
Dominic go Friscum.
But anyway, so the priest was facing the altar.
No, that's the old, that is that, old
yeah,
school.
And they had.
You sure it's Catholic?
Incense, just a smoke, and that guy just like a charcoal pit up there with the incense.
Was he like 99 years old?
No, he's a young guy. And like I said, everything was in Latin. Had, you know, a little thing going along with it. Knew a little bit of it. Remembered it from the day.
So you're a server boy, right?
Third grade, you had to learn Latin.
Was that
memorize
was,
it.
So you got the old style mass?
Yes.
And we're there.
Well, when was the reform?
About the time I learned to serve mass. I did not learn Latin. I learned it in 1966 and learned English.
And so I was about fifth or sixth grade when they changed it and they put the altars out where the priest faced the congregation. So is it kind
of
neat?
Is that also the same time they got rid of the communion rail?
Yes, and they had the communion rail here. They did with the guy with the server with the pad.
Where'd they go find all this stuff?
So you just like stepped into a time warp?
It's like going back to the early 60s, and it was just amazingly good. And choir was singing, chanting.
Were you the only person in the church that knew the Latin phrases? Response?
Yeah, I was yelling out "Ecum tutu CPO," whatever, you know. So. But the worst, there was I confess the confiteor in the beginning of the mass.
Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa.
Right. You had to memorize that, and you both had to bow down at the altar and say it.
Servers.
Yes. While the priest stood over you and listened. And I was serving with a friend of mine, a real good friend, and we had a daily morning mass, and we both didn't know it.
It wasn't Joe Ringhausen, right?
No. And we just kind of ad-libbed it, and we both had to sign it. You know, when you finished, you just kind of went up both times, same time. Well, I missed the signal one time. Priest caught it, and had a little sermon myself after Mass, so had to.
Was it in Latin?
Had to really learn the confiteor. But today I couldn't, I don't know two words of it.
Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa.
Yeah.
I've been to a Mass where they had it in Spanish. I was out in California.
Okay. Really?
And it did a Spanish Mass.
I went to one in California and it was Vietnamese.
Really?
Yes, siree, Bob.
Wow. That'd be different.
Yeah.
How was the sermon in Vietnamese, too?
It was a great sermon.
We couldn't understand it?
Not a word.
What were you doing in a Vietnamese church?
It's the only one around?
We had to get our card punched. You know, good Catholic goes to Mass every weekend. And that was the only Mass that was available we saw. We'd gone out to visit Sue's brother in California, and he said, "Oh, there's two masses." He said, "One's at 8 in the morning, and then there's one at 10 o'clock, this Vietnamese Mass."
So you went to the 10 o'clock for sure.
Yeah. Learned something new, didn't you?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of masses that stand out mind. You know, a lot of them, you know, are all kind of very much the same. But when I was in college, and they had the Newman Center.
Yeah.
And they would have a mass there, and they would have it at 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
So it was the last gasp for any the Catholics who still just...
Man, you could just party all weekend long.
And then you got 9:30.
And even most of the day Sunday and still get into Mass at 10 o'clock that night.
It was the massive choice of the practicing Catholic school.
No, we had to walk to church. It was at Western. They didn't have the Newman Center there for that on campus.
Another Mass that stood out in my mind.
The one where you got married?
No.
That one never crossed my mind.
Stood out in my mind. Me and Dennis and Jeff Getten, we were all down at Carbondale Southern Illinois University. I don't know why we were all there together, but we went to church, and it wasn't the Newman Center, it was the regular church there. But what stands out in my mind is we were in the Mass, and there was this guy sitting down, just like four or five people from us, that had had the longest nose of any man I've ever seen in my life, and none of us could pay attention to Mass because that blows you away. Blows you away.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there was a football player at Western that his nose just barely touched the mask, the face guard.
Yeah.
So we had a challenge. We had to measure it out. I won. Actually, it would have touched the face mask.
You beat him?
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't hold a candle to this guy.
Really?
Ah, nothing. No way.
I wonder, growing up, whether or not he was aware that he had a giant nose.
I'd have to say he.
I'm sure. Yeah. He does.
Now,
there's something that goes along with that. That you know is another part of the anatomy that kind of corresponds to that.
That's a fallacy.
It's your ego.
I set myself up. I was just seeing
your imagination.
I was seeing which one came up with a better answer.
Can you see the tip of your nose?
No.
Oh, baloney.
I can
see the tip of my nose.
If I close an eye, yeah.
That's what
I
mean. Close one eye.
Oh, well, yeah.
You're allowed to close one eye.
If I close one eye, half my field of vision disappears.
Well, I don't see anything.
Can
on
you
the
stick
side.
Out your tongue and touch your nose?
No.
Hey, I can.
Okay. I saw that coming
down. Glad you came today, aren't you?
Yeah, just.
You started it! This whole Mass thing!
Well, I thought it was just pretty cool.
Do you judge a priest on how long his sermon is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. So who's the best priest we ever had?
Father Hambro.
Yeah.
Father Hambro.
Please remain standing.
You're all good people.
When do you...
But he got right to the point and it was over.
You read your Bible, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
You know what to do.
He had a way of explaining things in simpler terms.
Act like Jesus.
Have your bags packed.
Be good. Yeah. Like every day.
What'd you say? Have your bags packed?
Our neighbor passed away, and he was talking to him out on the front lawn. He says, hey, always have your bags packed. I know. Scary.
Mean your spiritual baggage.
Whatever. Just a warning shot right there. Said it all in four words. Have your bags packed.
I'm afraid to get in the truck and drive home now.
There you go.
I'm afraid for the people on the road with you.
Okay, we're out of time.
That's right, impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got about a few seconds here.
What are you talking about?
Has it been 30 minutes?
Yes, it
has. Yeah!
Okay.
Let's shut this thing down.
Rick Gator.
Greg Gator.
And Alligator.
So long.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.
We'll be right back.